mamas, welcome back to the So You Had a Baby podcast, episode 38. Today, we're finishing off our body changes series with a very important and underserved topic, the vagina and pelvic floor. There are so many changes that happen in a woman's body, and for many of us, the most impactful changes that we experience, we don't always talk about. For example, the changes that take place in our pelvic floor and the vagina. So, we thought it'd be great to have an expert come on and help educate us.
Yes, we loved having Dr. Lisa Jewell on to talk about the pelvic floor and what exactly it is and how it impacts our body through pregnancy and through birth and in postpartum. And so we were just so happy to have her on. So just a little bit about her. She is a chiropractor and soon-to-be mama located in Portland, Oregon. She holds specialties in Webster, cranial sacral, pelvic floor rehab, diastasis recti rehab, active release, and instrument-assisted myofascial release in conjunction with chiropractic adjustments. And she loves to give her clients the tools to take care and charge of their own health. So we had a blast talking with her. And some of the takeaways that we had, we wanted to share with you guys before we jump into this episode. One of my takeaways was just her description of the pelvic floor. I think that is just so basic, but it was also very enlightening because I didn't realize exactly what it is. I thought I knew, I guess, but when she explained it, it really enlightened me, and it was very insightful. So I think that was one of my biggest takeaways, just knowing exactly what it is and what muscles they involve.
Exactly.
It was really interesting.
I couldn't agree more. I think, honestly, the whole episode was so insightful. There's so many amazing takeaways. But I think what I loved the most is that she shared tips on what signs to look for in your own body so you know when you should go see a pelvic floor specialist, as well as what to expect in an appointment. I mean, among so many other things, this we can't wait for you to hear this episode because you will walk away with just as much knowledge as we did.
Yeah, seriously. We are so happy that she was able to come on and share with you guys what exactly the pelvic floor is in detail. Mm-hmm. So we really hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the So You Had a Baby podcast. We are your hosts, Inkiru and Krista.
We'll be sharing empowering stories and topics to inspire women to grow and love themselves more throughout their postpartum journey.
Join us each week as we work to change the stigma around postpartum.
Well, we are so excited to have Dr. Lisa Jewell on with us tonight. Dr. Lisa, I would love it if you could introduce yourself and share your profession and share how you chose to get into your profession.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I am, as you said, Dr. Lisa, and I'm a chiropractic physician here in Portland, Oregon. And I specialize in women's health, specifically prenatal and postpartum rehab. So doing everything from aches and pains to birth prep to postpartum recovery. And of course, what we're talking about tonight with the pelvic floor. I got really interested in this kind of niche working downtown in my first office. And I was seeing a lot of working moms and they were all coming in and saying, oh, I'm so glad that you're down here. Like, I don't have time to go to any other appointments, but I come here my lunch break. And then after they had their babies and came back to work, I was hearing the same stories, but then they were having all these other issues that I couldn't, as just a traditional chiropractor, address. And so I started learning more and getting more interested in, you know, core rehab and pelvic floor rehab. And it was just my idea that, oh, someone could come in and kind of get all of their needs met in one place, because who has time to go to four different appointments at four different offices to get their one issue taken care of?
Yeah, definitely not moms. They don't have time.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially people who need it the most.
Well, I'm so glad that you decided to jump into that niche. And because the reality is I feel like so many women don't know to even take care of that, don't know what it is. And I just said there's so many unknowns after pregnancy and after you give birth, but there's a lot happening down there that just isn't talked about, to be quite honest. And unfortunately.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, the issue of pelvic floor comes up after you give birth, even maybe way after. I can attest to that myself. And I had never heard of it. So the fact that you are an expert in this field, it excites me because I want to personally know more about it. And I know people that are listening are also interested in figuring out for themselves if, you know, they would need to see a pelvic floor specialist or just to be more aware of what it is.
Definitely. I know. I personally had a similar experience where I didn't know anything about it, and which is even more disappointing because I studied anatomy, but it's just not really covered in depth. And I had no idea, and it wasn't even talked about to me until I was about 9 months postpartum and in a really bad place. So I'm glad to have you on here because I think this is going to be really eye-opening for a lot of our listeners and for us. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think getting this message out there is just so important. Like, just even if someone knows this is a thing, that's huge, you know, because it is becoming more talked about, I think, in the last few years, but it's still so underserved and there's still really few people doing this work.
Yeah.
In comparison to who needs it.
Absolutely. It's a shame because it's not like women just started having babies. So amazing. It's amazing what women were doing prior to this and the misconceptions that were told, you know, and all the things that were told that weren't addressed. Or So I'm going to kind of jump into some questions that we have for you. And I'm going to start with a really basic one that seems kind of silly, but I feel like a lot of people don't know. But what is the pelvic floor?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the pelvic floor is actually a component of our core. So I think a big misconception is that we address it as its own little unit, when really it's working in conjunction with our entire core, with our diaphragm, with our breathing. So that's the first thing, is to think of it as part of this bigger picture. You know, the actual pelvic floor structure is made up of about 24 different muscles in 3 different layers, and it's responsible for 3 major functions: continence, that's preventing leakage of urine or feces, sexual function, and then pelvic organ support. So it's got a pretty important job for
your...
Well, on that note, like, what happens in the body after, or what happens to the pelvic floor, I guess, after birth? After a woman gives birth, what kind of changes does a woman go through in that sense?
Yeah, so I mean, during pregnancy, as anyone who's been pregnant can probably attest, there's a lot more just swelling and inflammation, which is totally normal. That's from the increased blood flow in the body. So those tissues have been kind of irritated for 9 months, and it's also been supporting this increasing weight, which even in the first trimester when you're not showing, your uterus is still a lot heavier than it is normally. So really, these muscles are working pretty hard the whole 9 months. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, pH balance, lubrication, hormones, that can all be affected during pregnancy. And then during the birth, I mean, I think the biggest thing we need to talk about is the stretching that happens. You know, the vaginal opening, when they talk about the cervix dilating, the vagina also dilates. Like, that face becomes from roughly 4 centimeters. I mean, this is a very brief average, and opens to 10 centimeters the same way the cervix does. So that's a lot of stretch. That's a lot of movement.
That's a lot of stretch.
Yeah. And then you also have all that increased pressure from pushing baby out. So, you know, stretching the pressure is kind of the big birth event. And that can be really seamless and easy for some women. And it can be, you know, kind of pretty traumatic for other women. You know, when we talk about tearing or like nerve damage from a birth, you know, those are all much longer term side effects that aren't necessarily normal, but they are very common.
And so the pelvic floor is, well, actually, my better question is, because I feel like
I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, oh, I don't really need pelvic floor, or I didn't really have any changes to like vaginal changes because I delivered cesarean, but without knowing really what that means. So are the pelvic floor and the vagina even impacted differently in a vaginal birth versus cesarean birth?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I hear that a lot as well. I mean, the short answer is yes, they are, but it's less about the means of delivery and more about how the labor and birth goes. So, you know, if you have a C-section after 3 hours of trying to push your baby out versus a vaginal delivery where you push for 2 minutes and baby's out, well, then that C-section labor probably is going to have more issues with their pelvic floor than that easy vaginal delivery. So it's, you know, it's really more about like how was the labor, how long was pushing, how was baby's position. Another fact that we don't really talk about is with C-section, there's a lot of scar tissue. You know, and when they do that incision, it's pretty high up on your tummy. But as your uterus shrinks back down, that scar tissue actually goes down and sits between the top of the vagina and the back of the bladder and the top of those pelvic floor muscles. So imagine if you had a lot of thick scar tissue, that would definitely impact pelvic floor, you know, longer term.
That's super interesting. I didn't even realize that. I know I know that it's cut through multiple layers for cesarean, but you don't really... When you think about that, I feel like for myself, at least, it's a separate thing. You know, you don't correlate the scar tissue from a cesarean birth with the pelvic floor. You don't even think that those are connected. So
yeah, no,
that's really interesting.
And I feel like doctors and, you know, in our culture, in this country, we kind of are very blasé about cesareans. We're like, oh, yep, it's no problem. 6 weeks, you're going to be fine. But that's it's a major abdominal surgery. And I always joke, if men were having cesareans, they would have 12 months off and full PT, and it would be a very different postpartum recovery. But women's health care, not the one.
For us, 6 weeks, you're good. Go back to work now. You're fine.
Yep.
So you had mentioned earlier a little bit about incontinence and vaginal weakness during intercourse. And I think those are things that something that I've noticed that after going to my own pelvic floor specialist, I realized that that's kind of a sad comment that women, you hear like, oh, after you give birth, you know, it's normal to pee a little bit when you laugh. It's like, what? That doesn't seem normal, but we've normalized it. And the weakness during intercourse seems like it's normalized, but it's also, it's something that we talk about really lightly, but it's really impactful for a lot of women and really is hard to deal with. So can that, like, why does that happen? How is that related to the pelvic floor, and can it actually be helped?
Yeah, you're right. It's been so normalized, but it's certainly not normal that that's a long-term issue. So, you know, what I tell my patients is that during pregnancy and that kind of fourth trimester, which really that 6 week is just a little crazy to me. I call it the 12-week window. You're still having that increased blood flow. You're still having a lot of swelling. You still have that extra uterine weight. You're having a lot of hormones. So that leakage and weakness in that time period is considered normal. I mean, obviously to an extent. It's after that 12-week mark, if you're starting to at least notice improvement, if not feeling totally better, that's when it's not normal and it is an issue and there are things we can do about it. So, I mean, all those things that have happened during pregnancy, you know, that does cause some muscle atrophy. The same way if you had your arm in a cast and you take it off after a few months and that arm looks a little bit smaller than the other arm, right? Those muscles with all that extra weight and swelling, they can't work quite as hard, especially in that third trimester. So they are a little bit weaker. And sometimes if you've had an easy birth and you have good core connection and you're able to get up and start moving around, that strength can come back. But sometimes it doesn't. And it's actually not as common for it to return to normal. I mean, I see a lot more people who it doesn't return to normal. And then 2 years later, they're like, okay, this is a problem. I think it's really interesting. In Europe, their standard of care is 12 pelvic floor rehabilitative sessions after birth. That's
Oh my
just
gosh.
People get that, regardless if it's a problem or not. because we know now the very little research we're starting to get is that dealing with these issues postpartum is preventing organ prolapse postmenopausal. So even if you feel like everything's fine, going and doing this work now is really benefiting your 70-year-old self, which is awesome. And we're just kind of learning this now. This you know, info is just coming out.
That's incredible. Why isn't everyone just up and moving to Europe?
Or why aren't we practicing in that same way here in the States?
Right. Why isn't our... Yes, I mean, this is just one of the big problems with our healthcare system.
Right. Yeah. Totally. And speaking of just like rebuilding the pelvic floor after such a traumatic experience for the vagina and for your core itself during birth, how would you say you would rebuild it? Because we've heard about Kegels, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that's a thing. And so for our listeners, for us, can you explain, like, do Kegels really work for the pelvic floor? And if so, what is working?
Yeah, Kegels are such a hot button word. So I think Kegels, the way they are traditionally intended, do help strengthen the pelvic floor. I think we've been telling women how to do Kegels incorrectly for decades. I think most women are like taught to squeeze and try to stop the flow of urine, try to squeeze a tampon, like that kind of squeezing image metaphor to use those muscles. And that's not what we want to do. What we want to do is strengthen that functional strength of the core and pelvic floor, that reflexive core training. So I use the word Kegel, but I teach people how to do a Kegel correctly. So my big phrase is, it's not a squeeze, it's a lift. It's functional engagement.
Oh.
Yeah, that's different.
That's different.
That's different. and I like that. I like that because I think that might be the discrepancy, right? Because we're listening to other people that maybe are not professionals in this field saying, do your Kegels, and this is how you do them. And we could be doing it wrong this, time. But like when it comes to, so you mentioned Kegels are like lifting, right? Instead of squeezing. Would you say that's like the most effective way to do Kegels or to strengthen the pelvic floor in general?
Yeah, well, I mean, and of course depends what issue you have going on, right? There's two major things that can be happening with the pelvic floor. Most commonly postpartum is that there's a lot of weakness. There's low tone. And so these lifting exercises, again, we're not just doing the pelvic floor, we're doing that whole core, right? If you broke your whole hand, you're not just going to rehab your index finger. You're going to do all the fingers, right? So
yeah.
It's teaching women how to engage that pelvic floor muscle. It's teaching them how to engage their abdomen muscles, their low back, how to use their breath to help engage the diaphragm, and doing some strengthening things, but also teaching them how to have those muscles just turned on in life. You know, this is a very functional muscle group. When we're standing, our leg muscles are turned on, right? We wouldn't expect to stand and not have to use our quads. But for some reason, we expect to stand and not have to use our core. So there's kind of this disconnect with this whole muscle group.
That is so interesting. And wow, that is a good point. I've heard squats are really good. Is that good for the pelvic floor as well? Or is that better than Kegels?
Well, any exercise you do is not going to compensate for learning how to engage these muscles correctly. So I don't even let my patients do traditional exercise until they can do these really basic engagements and basic little functional exercises, in air quotes.
That's smart.
Squats are great, but if you have a lot of weakness and you have prolapse pressure and you're doing 50 squats, like that's not going to be great for the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
The opposite problem with, if it's not the weakness, the other issue that can happen is that pelvic floor is so too tight. And this is usually more pre-baby. That's an issue. Like with a lot of CrossFitters, runners, you know, they're exercising so much that things are just never letting go, never relaxing. Mm-hmm. And it's a bigger problem as it being too weak.
That's interesting. You would think that would never be a problem for people, but I guess it could be because you need that to loosen, I'm assuming, so that you can have a baby without tearing everything.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you're doing a lot of squats with a too tight pelvic floor, that's not going to be great either. So that's why it's really important to get that assessment to know what you need specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, it's disappointing because I feel like I specifically remember being told like after around 6 weeks, it's okay to start working out again. Mm-hmm. But without any comment of, and to be honest, I remember going to the gym the first time and trying to do jumping jacks the way I've always done them. And literally, I remember saying to a girlfriend, this is a little bit graphic, but it's real. I feel like my vagina is going to fall out. Like nothing feels like it's holding up anymore. And this is concerning to me. And why has no one told me about what to expect? And why have I gotten okay to work out? Like this is an okay. And we're just kind of given a, you know, a shove out the door and like, thanks, we'll see you again next time you do this without prepping us physically and mentally of how to really do what's best for our body so we can do this again.
Right. And I mean, no even education. I think OBs and midwives are a little better, but they're not even trained to assess pelvic floor. You know, they're not even trained to be able to tell if you need rehab, if you're weak, if you're having the ability to engage it, mm-hmm. which is just almost criminal. It's like you're seeing them, they're in there doing their postpartum check. Like why on earth are they not at the very least assessing it and giving you some education of, yeah, you're 6 weeks, you've healed, but your pelvic floor isn't ready to go back to those high impact exercises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to back up a little bit because we talked about Kegels and I feel like I'm probably not the only woman who's looked this up after pregnancy because my muscles like vaginally or during intercourse didn't feel like I didn't feel like things were triggering the way they were supposed to. And so I Googled like, you know, the weights and the things that you can do to strengthen your, you know, those muscles. Do those even work, the weights? Because I feel like you see those everywhere. And like I said, I'm sure I'm not the only woman who's probably wondered, oh, maybe this is how I get my body back to doing what it was supposed to do or what it's done before.
Yeah, because you have no information and you go online and that's what you see. Yeah. Of course, like that's, and I never like to say never in this 100% no, but I do not like the pelvic weights. I don't think they're really necessary. And I think they can do a lot more harm with someone who like you Googled it, went and got them and just started using them mm-hmm. and doesn't really know how to use them or how to engage their pelvic floor correctly. Because the weights can really encourage that like gripping, squeezing, right? You're essentially trying to hold them in. You're not actually doing a lift. It's like if you were doing a bicep curl versus you were just holding that weight in your outstretched hand and just trying to hold it up. It's a very different exercise. So I definitely don't encourage people to do that without seeing a specialist first. And I find very limited use for those. I don't use them at all in my practice. I know some providers do, but I think you could do all the strengthening you need to do with the rehabilitative exercises and working on functional core training just with no weights, just with your body.
That's great to know. So I kind of want to dive in a little bit more to what does a pelvic floor specialist do? Like not just on a high level, what you do, but also like what does an appointment look like? And is it, because I know a lot of women, I know for myself, even when I went to my first pelvic floor appointment, I guess I didn't really put it together, but like, I didn't realize, is it going to be internal? Is it going to be external? Or is it just, you know, what is it? What does it look like?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not normalized in our culture either to have like internal work done, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not normal to even like be undressed in a locker room necessarily with other women. So it can be really triggering for some people. So I think finding a therapist that, you know, has trauma-informed training, especially if you've had any, you know, sexual trauma in the past, is really important. And someone who kind of on their website or when you call tells you what to expect. Like, that's a really good sign that that's a really good practitioner. So, you know, I'll kind of run through the nuts and bolts of it, and then I can talk about what it actually looks like in the appointment. Because I think three big things that the therapist needs to do is they need to teach you what the pelvic floor is, how it's supposed to function, how you can connect with it, and then the exercises, you know, in a progressive order. They need to do an assessment. And you can do external assessments, you know, especially if you're not comfortable. You should never do internal work if you're not comfortable with it. The internal work does definitely give you a better full picture of pelvic floor, because those muscles are really deep and there's a lot of layers and you can't access them all externally. So assessing the muscle tone, if it's too tight or if it's weak, and then assessing strength and seeing if you're really strong and maybe can't relax it all the way, or if you can't, you don't really have a ton of strength and you can't engage it all the way. And then, you know, if there is any tightness, the reason to keep doing internal work is to release some of those tight muscles that are maybe holding on or guarding. If you have any scar tissue from tearing, you know, like perineal tearing, vaginal tearing, that scar tissue can kind of prevent full mobility. So releasing that. And then you're really just there some biofeedback to be like, okay, can I connect? Can I do this exercise that they're trying to teach me? Do I understand what they're saying? Do I feel like I'm able to do it? Sometimes having that internal feedback is really helpful.
Yeah.
Have something to go off of, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in my appointments, I always start doing external palpation. I talk about everything we're going to do. I get up my model. And then, you know, I get the little stirrup setup going on and let people change and get comfortable. And then, you know, it's just with one gloved finger kind of going up to that second knuckle. And a lot of people talk about, you know, they walk around the vaginal opening like a clock, kind of seeing if there's any tenderness. And if there is, working on that and then testing that strength. So, I mean, the internal portion of your appointment is 10, maybe 15 minutes. And then the rest of the time is teaching, talking, doing things externally.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're in there for a whole hour doing internal work, certainly. And I think another big misconception, I've had one patient come in who was seeing her pelvic floor therapist for a year and a half, like pretty regularly for a year and a half doing internal work. And I was like, and do you feel better? And she's like, no, I don't really feel any different. I'm like, okay. So a typical pelvic floor treatment plan for me is like 6 to 8 weeks, like 6 to 8 sessions. A year and a half is definitely...
So not a lifetime, huh?
Not a lifetime. Something's not quite right there. And it could just be that maybe it wasn't a good fit. Maybe she wasn't ready. You know, I don't know what happened, but that just to me was way too long of a treatment plan. So I think what to expect for your commitment too. Like 6 to 8 weeks, unless there's, you know, an extreme circumstance. That's pretty typical.
I'm really glad that you walked through, honestly, even through like an appointment and what to expect. And because I think it's good to normalize talking about, like you said, the internal work is, I would imagine, a really important piece of that. And it's so uncomfortable for a lot of women. I know I've personally explained what happened in my pelvic floor appointment to friends or to another woman who didn't know what it was. And there was a very obvious discomfort with the idea of someone doing internal work, which is a little bit understandable because I was uncomfortable with it. But also when you think about it, kind of funny because we just gave birth and there's a lot of internal stuff going on there.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I feel like the information that you shared is just so insightful because I know that when I was realizing that, hey, something more is wrong, but I'm not sure exactly what it is. I didn't understand. And I like what you said earlier, like in the very beginning of the interview, when you're explaining what the pelvic floor is, that connection between your core and your vagina, essentially, it sounds like, right? Like there's that, it's connected to your core. And I think it's important that people know that
you have to strengthen your core, you know, as well. Like strengthening your core is also involved in pelvic floor restoration, if you will. So I just find that connection to be really interesting. But like, yeah, as a postpartum woman or even a pregnant woman, when would you say is the best time to see a pelvic floor specialist? Because like I was saying, I had no idea that that was even an issue and I needed to see someone. So when can women identify like, hey, okay, maybe I should check this out before I give birth, or maybe like right after? When would you say is the best time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's ever a bad time to do it, honestly. I mean, if you're thinking of trying in a year, like go in and get that assessed, you know, because you could have issues going on that you don't really realize because there's never been that stress. You know, I really love working with women prenatally. We obviously don't do any internal work that first trimester, not necessarily because it's contraindicated. I mean, the work we do is much less invasive than penetrative sex, but just we don't want anyone to ever wonder, did that therapy do something if something goes wrong?
Yeah.
But second and third trimester is totally safe to do. And like they say, prevention is the best treatment, right? I mean, that's, if we can teach you how to use that, get things relaxed, teach you how to have a better, safer, faster birth, that's going to prevent so many problems that may come up postpartum and give you way less work to do postpartum when you have a lot of other stuff going on. At the same time, it's never too late to do it. You know, if your kids are in high school and you've just been dealing with this for 15 years, like it's absolutely not too late. So I always say the earlier is better, but you can always work and improve things.
That's great. That's great to know.
Yeah. It's kind of like a win-win. It's encouraging either way.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm glad that you mentioned that it's never too late. Cause I know there's a lot of women whose kids are grown and they're still dealing with issues that were never addressed. And they're like I said, especially you hear it more from, you know, our parents' age who are the ones who are telling you like, oh, it's normal to pee a little bit when you laugh. And it's sad that that is what is being told from, you know, the generations older than us, because that's what they were told.
Right. Yeah. And they've just learned to deal with it.
Yeah.
And this is why we're getting this info on organ prolapse with postmenopausal women, is because we're really seeing a resurgence of that. And, you know, after a certain point with extensive prolapse, like that does become a surgical issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, PT cannot cure all, but getting to it before it gets even half to that halfway point can restore 100% of your function. But it's like those women don't even know to go in. Like they don't. So I think it's so great when I hear women having babies now, like talking to their mothers about it, and their mothers are then going in because they've been having these issues forever. And yeah, I think it's really, really healing post, you know, through the generations to hopefully affect some real change.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I just wanted to also ask, so I know you just mentioned PT. Do you feel like, how would a woman try to figure out who is best to go?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because we don't do specialties in chiropractic and physical therapy the way doctors do, right? I mean, if you need to see a cardiologist, it's going to be pretty easy to find that doctor. Mm-hmm. But if you need this specialized physical therapy, there's not like a different doctor type to go see for that. So, you know, a lot of the pelvic floor rehab that's being done is within a bigger, just traditional clinic. And then you kind of have to dig and find that provider that's specializing in that. So, you know, my best recommendation is always to just talk to your friends and get a referral of somebody that somebody knows that you know is going to be good. But then if you can't do that, going on different websites and seeing if they have that specialist in that particular rehab. And physical therapy is obviously the most common provider. You know, being a chiropractor, chiropractors also specialize in pelvic floor. In Oregon, particularly, massage therapists can do pelvic floor rehab. That's within their scope of practice. So there's different types of providers you can get this help from. It's just finding what feels like the best fit.
Or even knowing what to look for or that you should look for it.
Right, exactly. And that's the problem, right? Is that no one's telling women to even look for this and what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, I feel like, the root of the problem, which is exactly why we wanted to have you on. And we thought this was an important topic to cover because this is one of the most impactful body changes that I feel like women experience that is the quietest, you know, when we talk to our friends, you know, or even to, unfortunately, to our practitioners or who we're going to. It's the one that we just don't hear much about. So,
yeah, no. And I think too, knowing, I guess I'll just do a little shout out. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of kind of red flag, you know, symptoms where if you're feeling these things, like this is pelvic floor related, which people might not know. You know, chronic low back pain that just doesn't get better, that can be a pelvic floor issue. Mm-hmm. Incontinence, which most people know about, right? Leakage, pain with sex, not necessarily even that weak feeling, but like actual pain with penetration, that can be a pelvic floor issue, especially if it's different after baby than it was before.
Oh, interesting.
That kind of bulging in the tummy and postpartum, where especially after you like eat or if you do a big workout, the things feel a little bulged forward, like you can't hold your stomach up and in. That can be core pelvic floor issue. And then any like heaviness you feel in that pelvic floor, not necessarily like pain or pressure, but just things feel heavier, that can be a big indicator that there's pelvic floor issues going on. So those are just some things where some of them are obvious, but some aren't, of why you would go to pelvic floor therapy.
Yeah.
That's great. Those are great.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
They really are. I'm so glad that we were able to have you on and talk about this because there needs to be an open conversation about it. And I feel that most of the time the practitioners, like our the people that we go to for care, it's probably not brought up until the woman says, "Hey, I think I need something more, you know, of something's wrong and I'm not really sure what it is." And then yeah, pelvic floor maybe will be brought up. But it's such an important conversation to have before, you know, before, during pregnancy. And I'm grateful that we're able to have you on and clear the air about what it is. And all of this information is just really helpful. So
I'm so glad.
Is there any additional information that you want to share with us and share with our listeners?
I think we've said most of it. I'll just reiterate my most important things. You know, just knowing that there are things you can do, not letting this normalized symptoms in our culture make you think that this is just how you have to live from now on. Never knowing it's never too early or late to start. And I think kind of based on what you just said about going into your provider, you know, a lot of people, it takes a lot to even bring something like that up to their doctor. And then if their doctor is kind of dismissive and like, "Oh, it'll get better, just wait and see," then people are kind of like, "Oh, okay, no, it's fine." But you can advocate for yourself. I mean, especially with our healthcare system in this country, you kind of have to advocate for yourself. So if you feel like something's not right, you know, pelvic floor or anything else, knowing that you can go somewhere else, you can get a second opinion, you can do research on your own, because that isn't necessarily the full stop answer that you're getting if it doesn't feel good to you.
Yeah.
That was a good takeaway. And I think it's an important one that especially being able to be your own advocate is something that I don't feel like can be said enough. So
yes, so important.
Well, Dr. Lisa, thank you so much for your time and for coming on and sharing all of your knowledge, not just with us, but with all of our listeners. I know this is going to be such a game changer, I'm sure, for a lot of women who didn't know where to start.
I hope so.
Totally. Yes. Thank you so much. And just before you go, before we end this interview, where can the listeners find you? We like to give our guests just a couple minutes to plug your business and tell guests just a little bit about where they can find you on social media or anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my office is in downtown Portland, Oregon. And my website is jewelchiropractic.com. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well, if you want to check me out there first. I do have some info on pelvic floor specifically, on a lot about else what I do. I have other providers on my resource page, if that's not a convenient location to you. And I just want this information to be out there. So even if you have just a random question, you can feel free to message me on social media. Love to help people get the care they need.
Awesome.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys. This has been great.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. We are absolutely grateful and humbled that you would take the time to tune in today. Please join us each week as we change the stigma around postpartum and help build a community where women can feel supported, loved, and empowered.
If you'd like to connect with us, follow us on Instagram at So You Had a Baby Podcast, or you can check out our website at soyouhadababypod.com. And if you want to hear more and be part of this community, please subscribe to our podcast. We'd love for you to join us each week.